Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to each and every one of you as we come together to worship the Lord today. In spirit and truth, as he's called us to do, I hope that you have already begun to prepare your hearts and minds as we'll continue to do so. But just a couple of announcements I want to point out to you. Let me first of all just again extend a special welcome to any of you that are visiting with us for the first couple of times, or you may even be a regular visitor. We're very, very glad that you're here. Joining us at First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga. If you would like to know more about the ministries or activities of the church, there are announcement sheets. We used to put them in the bulletin, but for many different reasons now, you can get a full and complete unabridged list of the announcements out in the connector as you leave this morning, or you can also go online. Just a couple of those announcements that I would like to make you aware of this morning. One is a women's choir day. There is a rehearsal this coming Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. And then also following Sunday, May 6th at 10 a.m., there will also be a rehearsal. And you'll be performing, if you choose to be with that group, you'll be performing with the choir next Sunday morning at this service, the 10:55 service. If you'd like to know more about it, that's a great opportunity if you like doing that sort of thing but don't have the opportunity to commit all year long to being a part of the choir. Here's an opportunity to be with them for just one Sunday with a much smaller commitment level. If you want more details, talk to Kelly Stoltz afterward. The other is the National Day of Prayer. It's something we hear a lot about. The first Thursday of every May has been designated as National Day of Prayer. Been doing that as a nation for many, many, many years, and this coming Thursday is the National Day of Prayer. To lend our support to that effort, for those who would like to come together corporately to demonstrate their support and obviously to come together in prayer for the needs of God's kingdom, the chapel is going to be open this Thursday from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m., if you'd like to come and pray, either individually or even as a small group. There will be special prayer bulletins available and prayer requests concerning First Presbyterian's ministries and outreaches. But you can also attain that material online if you would like to pray where you are, whether it be at home or in other situations. You can get those prayer lists on the church website. Let's then continue to prepare ourselves for worship this morning.
Let's stand together for God's call for our worship. Indeed, in this call for worship, there is a call to open our lips and sing praises to our Lord Jesus Christ this morning as God calls us to worship from Psalm 28. The Lord is my strength and my shield.
In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exalts, and with my song I give thanks to him.
The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed.
As the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess him, King of glory now. This the Father's pleasure, we should call him Lord. Of all the beginning was the mighty one.
Lord Jesus, we come to worship you and to thank you and praise you for your finished and accomplished atoning work upon the cross. Lord Jesus, we are here to worship you alone. Lord, we pray that we would adore you this morning as the person that you are and the work that you've completed on our behalf. Lord Jesus, we pray for your Spirit to abide with us. Pray for your Spirit to teach us. Lord, we pray for your Spirit to guide us in our worship, that we may worship you in spirit and in truth, and that it may be pleasing in your sight. You are our rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen.
By faith we seek our
in the light of creation's grand design, in the light of those who prove his name.
This morning, our affirmation of faith comes from the Heidelberg Catechism, question 32. I was talking with my nephew the other day. He's a senior at a Christian school in Knoxville, and had a speaker come and asked him a question. He said, "Prove to me that God exists." And as he took answers from the room, my nephew said, "Nobody stood up and said, 'By faith, I believe.'" This morning, it's a simple question, but maybe we make it too complex sometimes. So I ask you this morning, as a Christian, but why are you called a Christian?
Because I am a member of Christ by faith, and thus a partaker of his anointing, that I may confess his name, present myself a living sacrifice of thankfulness to him, and with a free and good conscience fight against sin and the devil in this life, and hereafter reign with him eternally over all creatures.
Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I want to just take a few moments as the busyness of your week has if you're like me, has given you little regard to pause and reflect upon your own sinfulness and your great need for a Savior. So this morning, as we take a few moments of silent confession of sin, ask God to reach into the depths of your heart this morning. And then followed by that, Eric will lead us in our corporate song of confession.
What should I gain from his reign?
Our Father and our God, indeed, the words, His wounds have paid my ransom, ring in our heads as we've just sung them. But have they really set in our hearts? Do we really believe it? Lord, imprint upon us by your word and your spirit the power of the atonement of Jesus Christ to bring your children, your sheep, your people, assurance of pardon, assurance in our standing in Christ. Lord, we live in a day where the movies and the theaters throw up these amazing fantasies, these technological marvels that are only in our imaginations, but we dream of having a shield that can be thrown up to protect us from the flaming missiles and harm and difficulties. Lord, have we once reflected that you have promised to be our shield to all who take refuge in Christ? Straight out of your word in Proverbs, you are our shield. May we take our refuge in you. We thank you for the perfect work of Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. We thank you for the power of the cross and the victory of the empty tomb, that we are washed and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. We rest in your atonement and not anything that we can bring. Lord, what a great shield, what a great preservation you have made for your children. May we live as those who have assurance in Christ. May we not live like the world or in our own fears because of our weaknesses. Those are real. May we live in the strength of Christ alone. And Lord, even as we speak of these things, may we pray even as you taught your disciples how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our children. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Greet one another heartily in the Lord. Let's once again go in prayer. Lord, as we worship you this morning in our corporate service together, we see the building blocks of our faith expressed. We see that we were created to praise you. We see that we can testify by faith that we are yours and yours alone in a watching world. Lord, we come to understand that our assurance is clear by faith in Christ, and you have put your absolute guarantee on it by the very death and resurrection of your Son. And Lord, we come now even with our requests, both great and small, both silent and verbal, and in every other form, recognizing that you have called us to come boldly with our requests, whether they be absolute celebration of joy, whether they be a need, whether they be a burden, whether they simply be a need to be delivered from our own struggles. Lord, all these things we come to you. But you've called us to come in supplication for one another's needs, not to look only on ourselves, though those are perfectly appropriate to bring before you, but to also be concerned for one another, for we've been given to one another in the body. We do pray this morning, even as silently many burdens and requests and needs are being lifted up before your throne. We pray for the Medeiros family, for Mel Sr., as he recovers from very, very complicated and serious surgery this past week. We pray for Paul Rich's family as well, as both he and Joyce have needs, and every one of their children have been struck by various needs, physically or otherwise. Lord, we lift them up in this time when it seems that every direction is a struggle. We ask for your mercy and for your grace and for your sustenance. We pray as well for Bill Allen with the complications from his fall earlier this week. We thank you that he is recovering and doing well. We pray for our senior pastor, Tim Tinsley, as he finishes up his mission work and returns to us very soon. We pray without incident and safely as he returns to Laura and the family and to the ministry to the body of First Presbyterian in Chattanooga. And Lord, we know that there are many other things that we could ask for and that are needful. We thank you that you know them all, that they do not escape your sight or your working plan. And Lord, even as we come with these requests, we also ask that you would engage us in the worship with hearts that are generous in our giving, that we would recognize that we do not belong to ourselves and all that we have is yours. We pray that you would give us hearts like the Macedonians, as Paul described, that were rich in their generosity. May we experience that kind of expression of our physical resources as well as our time and our talents. All of this we commit to you this morning in the name which is above every name, even Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Indeed, a fortress is our God to hold on to. Will you stand with me? Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. You can stretch your legs just for a second. I'm not reading the whole context, but reading for you one verse that we'll be looking at this morning. Ephesians 6, verse 16. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. When I was in high school, my brother was home from college, my brother Chris. He's about my size. He and I are kind of the small ones of the family. And then we have an older brother who's quite a bit bigger than us. And one day I was home. We were home in the evening watching, I think, a college basketball game, something, March Madness game or something. And I hear a knock at the door. And I go up to the door. And it's about four or five guys that go to my high school that were seniors, a little bit older than I was. Weren't guys that I really hung out with very much. They said, "Hey, we're here, you're having a party." I was like, "You know, me and my brother and one of his friends are watching basketball. Y'all want to come in? We're not really having a party." And they were like, no, it's okay. So they left. And so I go back downstairs and we're sitting there. And then all of a sudden we hear this loud noise out in our driveway. And we're like, "What was that?" So we go out in the driveway and look, and these guys had jumped up, grabbed the rim of my basketball goal, and broke the backboard. And so we were just ticked. I was like, "Oh, man, that's it. Like, why would these guys do this?" So my brother and I, are all 5'10 and 160 pounds of us, we decide with his friend, we're going to go find these guys. So we knew where they hung out. So we decide, we get in the car, and we take off, and we go down to the putt-putt, which is where everybody hung out. And that was a happening place. So we go down there, and there they are. And there were some other guys there that weren't at my house. And so my brother, defending me, gets out and says, "Hey, you broke my brother's basketball goal. Like, what's up with that?" Right? So he gets in front of this guy, and I look over at this guy, and this guy is as wide as he is tall, and he's all muscle. And so I look down at myself, And the first time in my life, before I'm about to get in a fight, my legs were literally shaking. And I remember vividly looking down and just going, "Oh, my goodness, what is going on here?" And I remember as that's happening, I hear this beautiful noise in the background. And it's the rattle of a muffler coming down the road. And I thought, "I know that noise. That's my big brother's truck." And so I'm just holding on. "Jesus, please don't let this guy hit me or my brother until my big brother gets here." So my big brother, Stuart, comes barreling in. He's an ag major, had this big old landscape truck, comes barreling into the putt-putt there and jumps out of the truck and runs up and moves my brother out of the way, stands in front of this guy, and he says, "If you're coming after my brothers, you got to come through me first." And it was like, my shield is here. It was an awesome picture. It was like, there, my big brother, in all of my weakness, was about to get physically assaulted. I needed a shield. I needed someone to stand there and be my advocate. And this morning, I hope you'll see that. This morning, I want to point out two things as we look at our text. And one is, I think we're carrying around some old shields that we need to throw away. And the second thing is, we need to take up the shield of faith. So first of all, throw away those old shields. There's a great irony here, I believe, in our text. When Paul says, in all circumstances, you realize the circumstances that Paul was in? He was in prison, chained to a wall, writing this letter, saying, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. And if you'll flip over with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I used to have an old Baptist preacher that said, I love to hear the wings of the angels flutter when people turn the pages of their Bible. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the context of this is that most believe that Paul had some critics who claimed that his suffering proved that he was not a true apostle. So Paul goes into this text we're about to read, defending himself against those who were really, those critics were boasting of their own accomplishments. Hey, look what we can do. Look what we did. And Paul does something quite different. As we'll see, he actually boasts in weakness. Looking at chapter 11, verse 22. But whatever anyone else dares to boast of, I'm speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast of that. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I'm talking like a madman, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. Okay, remember, context, circumstances Paul is in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. These are Paul's circumstances. Five times, verse 24, five times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food and cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there's the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. And then he says, who is weak? And I am not weak. Verse 30, if I must boast, I will boast in the things that show my weakness. And then he goes on in chapter 12, verse 6. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from being too elated by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. Here is the circumstances. These are the circumstances in which Paul finds himself. Circumstances that we read and we think about and we wonder, Paul, did you just go into battle your whole life and never take up the shield? Where was the protection? Did you go and just leave it at home? Did you leave the shield at home? One man wrote, such are the experiences of the man who gave his strength to proclaim the all-sufficiency of the shield of faith, who spent his days in recommending it to his fellow men, and whose own life was nevertheless noisy with turmoil, burdened with antagonisms, crippled by infirmity, and clouded with defeat. He asked the question, can his life be said to be wearing a shield? In his circumstances, the answer is really clear. Yes, Paul was wearing a shield. He sits in a Roman prison and says, in all circumstances, I take up a shield, but my shield is a shield of faith. The shield Paul speaks of is one that guards and protects the heart. It's one that guards and protects the soul. It's not a shield that says, I don't want anything bad to happen to me. It's a shield that says, in the midst of all that happens in this broken world, I want a shield that will guard my heart, that will protect my soul from the evil one. What are the circumstances of your life? Picture for a moment, you've got a piece of paper in front of you. Maybe you can do this. Draw a line on it, and then start listing on that line, on the timeline of your life, the circumstances of your life that were significant to you. I would dare say a majority of those things that would be on your line would have to do with trials and suffering. It would have to do with difficulty. And oftentimes in my life, I keep telling myself this over and over. Robert, when are you going to stop being surprised by suffering? When are you going to stop being surprised by trials? And the reason I say that is because suffering was the way of the cross. Jesus Christ suffered. He's called his people into suffering. If we read throughout the whole New Testament, the apostles are constantly saying, find joy in your suffering. We rejoice in it. There's this part of us that doesn't really connect with that, because part of me is going, yeah, that's the reality of the broken world. Like, I don't want things to be that way. But then at the same time, there's a reality that I'm called to walk the road that Christ walked, and to walk the road of suffering. So I'll ask you this morning, as you think through that timeline of your life, what shields along the way did you use to protect yourself? What ones did you pick up? Hopefully you picked up the shield of faith, but I think oftentimes we pick up others as well. We usually pick up shields to protect our body, but we don't pick up shields to protect our soul. Maybe you take up the shield of pride. When trials and suffering come your way, the shield that immediately goes up is defensiveness to protect your reputation. Maybe it's a shield of wealth, and you think, all else fails, I've got money. It's my shield of protection. Maybe it's your job. For the men, you know, it's success. If you don't succeed, then all crumbles beneath you. And that you hold up that shield to people around you in your career and even to your spouse. Maybe for you ladies, it's a shield of beauty. The one you've created in your head, maybe the one that the world is screaming at you to create. How often do you take time protecting the shield of yourself? How often is that shield up just to protect yourself from bad things happening, just to protect yourself from physical harm? You know, I think in our day and age, right, oftentimes the shield that we're constantly taking up to protect ourselves is we're working out, right? We work out, we physically exercise, we eat well. Not saying anything's wrong with those things. But sometimes those things become idolatry to us. And we spend so much time protecting ourselves physically from harm that rarely do we give a thought. I need a shield for my soul. See, there's two things going on here this morning. If you're a believer or a non-believer, the reality is, you have a physical body that will sometime die. But you have a soul. If you're within the sound of my voice right now, I want you to hear this. You have a soul that was given to you by God that will last forever. What are you doing to shield your soul? Are you protecting it? Are you guarding it, right? We have shields all over the place in our world. We have antivirus shields for our computers. We want to protect them. We have sunscreen that we slap on our kids, right, and ourselves. We want to protect our skin from that. We have windshields on our cars. Could you imagine driving your car without a windshield? Right? These things we do, and we do to protect ourselves physically. And I think the deception of the evil one as he schemes against us is that he loves seeing us take up these shields of the world and these shields to protect bodily harm and these shields that take us and move us into the realm of protecting our own arena. Because if he can keep us distracted long enough on our circumstances and distracted long enough that we have this shield that keeps us from getting hurt, he can shoot arrows all day long at you. And they're penetrating and hitting your soul. He loves keeping us distracted. A constant attention to the external leads to internal rottenness. Let me say that again. A constant attention to the external leads to an internal rottenness. There's a disease that trees get called heart rot. And heart rot, you look at a tree on the outside and it buds out and it grows its leaves, it bears fruit. It's this beautiful looking tree. But as if a forester was to come along and take his tool and drill into the tree, take a core sample and pull it back out, he'd have the rings, and then all of a sudden he'd hit this mush in the middle and pull it out, and it'd just be this nasty black substance in there. And that's a picture of our soul without a shield of faith. Like we may have it pretty on the outside, and we may gather all these shields for ourselves, but in reality, what's happening on the inside is we're rotting from the inside out. We need a shield that will protect the soul, a shield that will guard it and that will heal that inside and replace it with life. Throw off those old shields. I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't know what those shields are. It's those things that you're trusting in. Because I think when Paul gives us the answer to this in chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, look what he says. "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" What is it about this world that no one wants to show weakness? That is purely the world putting up shields to protect self. Paul, in the midst of being attacked by other people, says, "Oh, you're going to boast about your accomplishments?" I mean, that's why he says, "Let me throw off," right? Hebrew of Hebrews, gone. I'm throwing it off. I'm an Israelite, out of here. I'm a servant of Christ. He says, "I'm a better one. I'm talking like a madman with far greater labors." And he goes on. He's throwing these things off, right? He doesn't brag about his accomplishments as a Christian. He doesn't brag about the strength of his faith pulling him through all these things. He says, "If I'm going to brag, I'm going to brag about the things that show my weakness. Because it's in the midst of your weakness, it's in the midst of my weakness, that Jesus Christ is exalted, that the glory of Christ is seen." Please, I'm begging you, from God's word, don't run from your weaknesses. Go after them. "Lord Jesus, expose my weakness, because when my weakness is exposed, the glory of Christ is seen all the more." That's the beauty of taking up a shield of faith. So what does it look like for Paul? As we turn to the second point, what does it look like for Paul to take up a shield of faith, a shield of power and a shield of protection in all circumstances? Well, the historical context of a shield is not this tiny little round shield that you might have seen Roman soldiers carrying around for battle that they carry on one arm and they're kind of moving it around to defend off things. But this shield is more like a massive door. It's about 4 feet by 3 feet, and it's placed in front of the person, and they can carry it with one arm, but they have the whole arm wrapped inside of it, and they wrap it in leather that's been soaked in water, so that when some enemy dips his arrow in pitch and then sends the arrow and it's flaming, it'll extinguish it when it hits the wet leather. So he's got this massive shield. Do you imagine the confidence that a Roman soldier had when he went into battle with this huge shield of going forward and he could hide his entire body behind it? Just a little side point. Imagine if all of us were to take up the shield of faith and we were to all line up, right? We had these shields. Like if I was doing a a kid's thing, I'd probably do this, like get a bunch of cardboard, right? And let them have this cardboard. And you imagine all of them lined up here, all of us lined up here with this, with these shields in front of us. And it's a picture of the body of Christ moving out into the world with this massive shield around us, a shield of faith in Jesus Christ, that nothing is going to penetrate that. So we can move out with great confidence. We can move out with great boldness into this world. So this shield for us is one that provides great protection and great confidence. If we look in the Old Testament, there's several places that this shield is mentioned. If you look at Genesis 15:1, it says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. God said, 'Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great.'" God proclaims to Abram, "I am your shield." Right? When we read the words of Paul when he says, "Take up your shield of faith," in no moment do we ever need to think that in our own strength we take up a shield and we go out into this world and charge, we fight. It's speaking of ability. The only reason that Paul can say, "Take it up," is because through the work of Jesus Christ, his ability has been changed. He's now able to take up the shield. He's now able to go into the world and to fight. But that shield is not his own. It's not this, "You're a good guy, you're a tough guy, you can handle all circumstances, you got the strongest faith in the world." The shield is God himself. And we find that true of the whole armor. That's why Paul calls it the armor of God. It's not our armor. So the great confidence is with David, for example, who says in Psalm 18, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." We read one in our call to worship. Then we read in Exodus 15, and it says, "The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name." It uses this capital L-O-R-D in your Bible, right? Children, when you read capital L-O-R-D in your Bible, it's speaking of the covenant name of God, a sacred name, a name for his that he gave specially for his people. And it's the translation of Yahweh. And Yahweh is a warrior who moves into battle on behalf of his people. Right? Exodus 15 is right after they've crossed the Red Sea, and Moses leads the Israelites in this grand song, and they sing, "The Lord is my warrior. The Lord is his name." It is because of the work of Jesus Christ that we can hold up a shield. Where do we see this shield in the New Testament? We only see it in a couple places, and here Paul uses it as a shield of faith. If you want to see how Jesus is a warrior, right? Sometimes we look at Jesus and we kind of go, do y'all ever watch Barney? Anybody watch Barney here? No? Anybody out here watch Barney? The famous song Barney says, "I love you, you love me. We're a happy family with a great big hug and a kiss from me to you. Won't you say I love you too?" Yeah, it's beautiful, right? It's Jesus. I'm just going to say it quite simply. Jesus is not Barney. And that sounds, yeah, right. I know that. Today, go and read Revelation 19. Jesus is seen as a warrior. And to be honest with you, it's scary. I didn't have the shield of faith. I didn't have trust in Jesus Christ. And I read Revelation 19. It should scare you to death if you don't have Jesus. The shield of faith is putting our trust in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. In Romans 3, it gives this great verse, Romans 3, 23 through 25. There's this one word that Paul uses a couple times in the New Testament. And that word is propitiation. Propitiation means to turn away wrath. So when he says in Romans 3, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith." See, propitiation, the language there is that here is God, this holy and reverent and just God. And here we are, miserable sinners who fall short of the glory of God. And there needs to be a reconciliation made as God himself, a holy and just God, can't allow sinners or sin into his presence. And he's punished that one time before. You know, one of the saddest verses in the Bible is that it grieved God that he made man. And he flooded the earth and destroyed everyone, except for Noah and his family. God's wrath is poured out three times in history. Once at the flood, once at the cross, and then once when he returns. For you, if you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, Christ is the propitiation. He's the shield that stands, like my big brother stood in front of me to take the wrath of that guy. Jesus Christ comes and he stands in front of you and he says, "Lord God, you're holy, you're just, your wrath deserves to be poured out on them, but I take it upon myself. All the wrath that they deserve, all the wrath that you deserve, all the wrath that I deserve and all of you deserve, Jesus Christ took that wrath upon himself." Paul says, take up the shield of faith. It's not a blind faith. It's a faith in the person, in the work of Jesus Christ. That's a shield that I can go into battle with. That's a shield that I can go boldly into this world. I just want to give you a personal illustration of what this might look like. Back in 2000, Rebecca and I had our first child. Her name was Emily, and she passed away of heart defects about three and a half months old. Went through many heart surgeries, many complexities, many difficult issues, as you could imagine. I can remember a kind lady in our church, walking into the hospital room when we first found out the news, and she said, "Robert, everything you've ever taught, everything you've ever learned, everything you know about faith is about to be tested." And in the middle of that, the evil one shot his arrows. And I just wanted to share with you a few of those arrows that he shot. And I want you to notice the response of faith. And please, in the midst of this, don't say, "Oh, Robert, wow, he's a really faithful guy. It's amazing. He really took up his shield." And all these struggles in the midst of that, it was Christ who was shielding me, who gave me the grace to say these things. As the evil one whispered in our ear, "You remember that sin you committed in the past? Yep, it's your fault. This happened. God is punishing you." He releases the arrow. Faith in Jesus Christ says, "No, I remember that story that Jesus told the parents of that blind man." Faith in Jesus said, "I've thrown your sins into the depth of the sea, never to be brought up again." The evil one whispered another one, "Those surgeons screw things up. You should give them a piece of your mind." Shoots the arrow. Faith in Jesus says, a soft answer turns away wrath. The evil one said, "Tell that pastor friend of yours you're tired of hearing God's word." Faith in Jesus said, "In his word I find refuge and comfort." The evil one said, "God's abandoned you." Faith said, "Oh no, evil one, Jesus told me that I'm in my Father's grip, and he's never going to let me go." The evil one said, God won't understand your questions and your doubts. Faith said, God's bigger than my questions and my doubts. The evil one said, God doesn't hear your prayers. Faith said, I have a faithful high priest who is interceding for me now, and even when I don't know what to pray anymore, he's praying for me. See, there's this faithfulness that's been seen in your life as a believer and in my life. And I can look back and I can see the faithfulness of God in the past. And I can see that he's going to be faithful and he's going to be my shield now. And as you look into the future and the uncertainty of it, and all the doubts and all the questions, all the uncertainties that come with that, Jesus Christ will be your shield then. It's him that we look to in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of all our circumstances. I want to close with this illustration. When I was in Cookeville, we did this thing annually. We had a father-son paintball war in our youth group. And so one day I decide at the end of this battle that I don't know what I was thinking, but I said, hey guys, y'all can all line up. There's about 30 of them. And I'm going to go out here about 30 or 40 yards, and I'm just going to run from that tree to that tree, and I'll just let y'all shoot at me. You're never going to hit me. So I thought it was a good idea. And so I line up at the tree, and while I'm talking and getting ready, these kids are over here turning up the velocity on their paintball gun all the way. And I thought, you know, I'm pretty fast. They're not going to be able to hit me. So I said, all right, you ready? I had my mask on. I'm like, go. And I took off running, and it was like 100 hornets had just stung me all over my body. And I got to the end and fell down, and my body was chilling and aching. And then a few days later, you could see the pattern of shots. As I ran this direction, I had this leg and this arm were covered, and then the inside of this arm and the inside of this leg. They didn't miss many times. And it was, you know, it was a silly thing for me to go into that battle without a shield. And I tell you that story this morning because I don't want you walking out this door this morning without the shield of faith. Satan is shooting arrows even now. Up in the balcony, this side, here, behind me. He hates you. He wants to destroy your soul. And he's shooting arrows all the time to try to do it. If you're here this morning and you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you haven't put your faith in his person and his work, it's very dangerous for you to walk out those doors this morning. I pray that right now you would say, I'm a sinner and I'm unprotected. I need Christ to be my shield. Will you pray that this morning? We can't live in this world without the shield of faith in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. It's foolish and it's deadly. This morning, turn to Jesus Christ. He'll protect you from this day forward, and he'll carry you into glory in his arms. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we pray this morning for the one here who might still say to himself, you don't understand, I'm too great of a sinner to be saved. Satan is shooting that arrow, whispering that in their ear. May they hear the words of Jesus who says, no one is cast out. Maybe they're still saying, you don't understand. You don't know what I've done. May they hear the words of Jesus say, I'm able to save you to the uttermost. Jesus, turn us to trust in you and to repent of our sins and lay hold of that cross where the shield of God's wrath was taken so that we might have life. Amen. Let's stand together and receive God's benediction. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all forever. Amen.
O church, arise and put your armor on. Hear the call of Christ our captain. For now the weak can say that they are strong in the strength that God has given them. With shield of faith and belt of truth, we'll stand against the devil's lies. And army whole, whose battle cry is long, reaching out.